ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Amy Peterson. Amy serves with the Oklahoma Baptist as the Ministry Wives Ministry Partner, which means she gets to support pastors' wives all across the state of Oklahoma, 1,800 Southern Baptist churches, in fact. For 20 years, Amy was a ministry wife serving alongside her husband Brandon in Texas, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. From the inside out, she understands the challenges and blessings of ministry. They now reside in Shawnee, Oklahoma, as Brandon is the Vice President of Campus Life and Dean of Students at Oklahoma Baptist University. They have three boys, just like me, ages 22, 19, and 12. Amy has a passion for honest conversations, the truth of God's word, and the power of Jesus that reaches into our messy, broken places and sets us free. Today, Amy joins me for a follow-up conversation to the episode I had last season with Jen Wilkin and JT English. Jen and JT cast a beautiful vision of what it would look like for us to live out a brother-sister framework well within the church. In this follow-up conversation, Amy and I talk about what this looks like for us in our different contexts, in our specific marriages, and as we seek to relate wisely and well with brothers in the church and in the workplace. So here, friends, is my conversation with Amy Peterson. I'm so excited to welcome Amy Peterson to the Ministry Wives Podcast. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Christine. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you. I met you in Oklahoma maybe 2 years ago when I got to come and speak to the Oklahoma Pastors Wives, which I love. There was a lot of fun energy in that room.
Oh my gosh, we have the best. And it is really my joy to walk alongside them as they serve in ministry here in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So tell us about your role, where you are, your family, all that.
Yeah. So I live in Shawnee, Oklahoma, and I grew up in Oklahoma, and went to college in Shawnee and met my husband here. But he is the Vice President of Campus Life and Dean of Students at Oklahoma Baptist University. And so we just moved here in July, but I also serve with the Oklahoma Baptist, which is our state convention, and my main only role is to come alongside ministry wives. And so my title officially is the Ministry Wife Ministry Partner, but really it is just to come alongside all of our ministry wives. And we have about 1,800 Southern Baptist churches in the state of Oklahoma. And to just come alongside with them and love and support and encourage them is their role is so varied across so many different contexts within our state.
But you've had experience as a ministry wife, right?
Yeah, I was actually, it was so funny. I was thinking back through the origin story of how this kind of all unfolded and how the Lord had it for me. But I remember telling a friend of mine after college, I was teaching and not dating anyone. And I said, you know, I'm not going to marry a minister. It's not the life that I see for myself. And I'll love and serve people, but I'm just not going to marry a minister. Well, lo and behold, I fall in love with my to-be husband, and he kind of was a game changer for me of what that life would look like, just because of his personality and his call and his mission to serve the Lord. And so we served in churches in three different states, and Oklahoma and Texas and South Carolina. Our longest was in South Carolina for about 13 years. And so for about 20 years, I was a ministry wife and in different contexts and different roles. His call is not to be the lead pastor, but to really implement and come alongside the pastor and implement the vision and strategize and accomplish what the pastor has in his heart to do. And so he served as singles minister and as a minister of education. I think there's different names for that now. And also the executive pastor for a church. Mm. So in different roles, serving alongside many women in large churches where there's multi-staff. And so being able to kind of hear other women's stories, but then also serve alongside them is both beautiful and can be challenging. So I'm just so grateful that the Lord has used that and is continuing to use that in ways here in Oklahoma.
That's so great. Well, I asked you to join me specifically to, we're going to do a follow-up episode to the Jen and JT conversation that came out last season. I really enjoyed that conversation with them. And I also realized, you know, we have some opportunity to follow this up with some, let's get into more of the weeds, more of the specifics. So listener, if you haven't listened to the Jen and JT episode, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that, where they talk about working together in the church. And they do end up talking some about being friends together. And so I loved that episode, Amy, because I think a lot of times the approach to this conversation of men and women in the church is all about what we need to be careful of. And I think that's wise and that's good. And we're going to talk about that some today. But they really kind of approached it from a different angle. And I liked that because we don't often hear that angle of, hey, here's the vision of what could be. And are we even talking about that? Are we even working toward that? And so they kind of cast this vision for us of brothers and sisters in the church working side by side for the mission of making disciples. At the same time, I think that we need to make sure that we're talking about how do we do that in a really wise way? And so I wanted to bring you in so we can talk about this together, get your perspective. I can share mine of how do we make this work in the day-to-day, everyday life when we are sinners and we're interacting together. So I'm wondering if you had any reflections listening to that episode.
I did. And I'm so grateful that you brought this conversation to the table because I think it's a very good one to have. What it did is it prompted me to have conversations, kind of follow-up conversations with my husband, as well as other conversations with ministry wives. We kind of began talking through this. So I think it's a very important conversation to have. And even though we may land in different places, I just think that we need to have it out there and continue this conversation. So I'm glad we're doing this again. So to be honest, when I first listened to it, I really stopped within the first 15 minutes and just had to set it down because I was taking what, and I love Jen and I love, I don't know JT, but I love and respect Jen so much. And so I just had to take a minute and I didn't revisit it until last week. And I've listened to it a number of times since then. And here's what it came down to me for me. At first, I was listening to it through the eyes of defensiveness, through the ears of defensiveness, where I was thinking, well, what context is this? What does friendship look like? Is this in the church setting? Is this out of the church setting? There were so many variables that come into play here. You've got the healthiness of four people, the spouses on either side. You've got the personalities. There's just so many variables that can't, I don't think, just be a cut and dry equation. And I think that's what I felt. And it's not necessarily what they said. I think it was just the ears in which I was hearing it from. I didn't want it to be, if you are spiritually mature, then you need to do this. And if you're theologically sound, then you need to do this. So as I stepped back and was really able to take it from a framework of within the church setting, within the workplace setting, oh my goodness, I heard it so differently. And I think that's what sometimes we do is we hear things within some defensiveness and maybe baggage that we have, but then we have to step back and listen to it again with some other things in place and hear it totally different. And so my first takeaway was that I don't know about this, but then as I listened to it again, I so appreciated the conversations that they were having to esteem and see women as people first.
Yeah. There are some things, to be honest, that I wish I had asked that I didn't. I think I missed some things. And this, you know, just a little peek behind the scenes for podcast hosts, you're managing a lot when you're having that conversation. Having two people on the conversation adds to the complexity. Mm-hmm. And so I'm following the argument, and there's a, when I say the argument, I'm following their thesis or where they're going. And there's a lot of things that pop in my head of which trails do I want to go down. And so listening back to it, there are some things as the host I wish I had asked. Mm-hmm. One of them was, what is the definition of friendship that we're talking about here? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I missed that opportunity, and maybe we can talk about that some today. Mm-hmm. Another thing was when Jen was talking about spiritual maturity and that if we're spiritually mature, that this is what it will look like. And I absolutely agree with her. I also think that there's another side of spiritual maturity where a pastor's wife listening who hears that and says, oh, if I have some concerns about somebody interacting with my husband, I'm not spiritually mature if I feel uncomfortable with that. I do think that there is spiritual maturity that leads to discernment, that leads to speaking up about that. And so I think I know what Jen was saying with that, but at the same time, I wish I had pointed that out or asked about that with her. And so that's something that I wish I had done. And then I think, you know, we didn't talk at all about, well, what kind of boundaries do Jen and JT practice? They are spiritually mature. Their spouses are on board with their friendship. And so what have they talked about in terms of what is acceptable and what is not? I didn't ask that, but I know if I brought them back, they would tell me specific things. But I missed that opportunity. All that to say, I don't regret the episode at all because of the beautiful vision that we heard that we never really hear. We just hear the boundary conversation. So that's kind of my take.
That's really good. And I think that you looking back and seeing those spaces as you heard it, to be able to insert more context to it is really helpful. And I think you're right on with all those things. Those were some of the things that I was questioning in my brain too.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why we're going to do this episode. It's like, this is kind of part two of that episode where we are going to go into those specifics. And I want to hear, you know, and you in your context and me in my context, how do we practice these things? What kind of conversations are we having with our husbands and that kind of thing? So I would love to first just ask you, Amy, how this quote unquote, meaning how you relate to men, how does that look in your marriage? And what have you and your husband talked about?
Yeah, that's really good. It's a great question, and it's one that I think we all need to look at and have conversations with our husbands about. So I have worked I was a teacher before, right out of high school. So I worked with other men coaches and teachers, and then I also was a corporate trainer for a company and led men in a team that I was on. And then I was in the church setting. And so there wasn't this intimidation or this preconceived idea about men and women in the workplace or in the church place, because I had come from a secular setting and had brought that in. So that was kind of my preset context of connection and friendship. But then as my husband was in ministry, and really people within our church saw me as the ministry wife to him, I think there was just a lot of understanding of, there was just a lot of preset understandings of him being the one and me being his wife. And so it's been interesting now that I'm kind of doing my own area of ministry that is not connected with him, how more independent or differently I am perceived, mm-hmm. than just the assumption of being his wife. And I don't know how many ministry wives out there feel kind of like a sidekick to their husband in ministry. And although that is a very honorable place to feel. It also can feel, especially if you are a ministry wife who has a call on your life to love and serve him in ministry settings, it can feel a little slighted. Mm-hmm. If you know what that means, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so now where I'm in the context of really not necessarily my ministry isn't attached to his ministry, it's an interesting difference for me. And I work with men. I'm on an all-men team serving our state. And I really have been received so well within the context of the convention at Oklahoma. He works with a team of men and women, but when he first stepped in, it was primarily women. And so used to leading a team of mostly men in a church setting, now he's at a higher education university setting, and there's a lot more women in which is on his team. And so that's kind of the background of where we have come from in our roles and in our ministries and in our work.
So what specific things have you agreed upon that you're going to do or practice in relation to the opposite sex?
Yeah, that's great. That's a really great question and one that we have talked about and actually because of this conversation have revisited in talking about. Mm. And so I think anything that can continue that dialogue with husbands and wives is so important to do, especially in the midst of a culture that is a little explosive to that. And so we had some really great conversations and what we have kind of defined within our marriage to do. And I think personality plays into this a lot. And mm-hmm. so personalities play in a lot of that. And so we have set up, okay, we can't avoid the fact, and we're fine with the fact of meeting in our offices just with men, me just with a man and him just with a woman. I mean, he has to do that a lot within the role that he leads. We have decided and determined not to get in a car alone with a woman, with a woman and me, not to go on lunch or dinners out, just two with us, opposite sex, opposite gender. Those are just some of the benchmarks, and that's just for us. As I've talked to friends, particularly those outside of the ministry, they have different boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I think that is just really important to know the context of where you are and where your husband serves and where you serve, understanding kind of the dynamics of that and building it, kind of customizing it to where you are and where your husband is and where you're serving.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you guys do?
Well, this is something that we also have had conversations about because we realized at one point we were interacting with another couple who had different boundaries and they were kind of infringing, I felt, onto where I felt comfortable, but we hadn't really talked necessarily about certain things. And so we'd always talked about, you know, not riding in the car with opposite sex alone, or we're not going to do lunches alone with opposite sex, kind of what you said. But I think now the biggest issues that we see when people fall in this are texting or direct messaging. I think our phones are that's a kind of a new horizon. And not that it's new, but the access and the feeling of intimacy that can come through texting or messaging. And so that's one of the things that we've had to kind of work through. My husband's not on social media, so there's no direct messaging. And I am so good with that. I think that's something, if your husband's on social media and he's messaging, that's something that you would need to talk about. Is it okay for him to direct message with a woman? But for us, we've determined that texting will, obviously in a professional setting, we use Slack at our church. And so there's a different platform for messaging. And so I do message with men that I work with, but it's always about professional things. It's not just like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? So if I'm texting, if we're texting with the opposite sex, we include one another, or we include the spouse. So we have, I would say, yes, I have friends that are men, but they're friends that I'm friends with because of their spouse. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I don't even know that I would say, you know, I'm thinking of a single man on our staff. I wouldn't necessarily call him a friend. But my relationship with him, if it's any sort of personal, it's going to come through my husband. Mm-hmm. And so texting will always involve other people.
Interesting.
That's how we've determined that it was comfortable for us. Mm-hmm. And I do, we keep saying it like, this is what I do, this is what you do, because I do think it is what is good for you in your marriage, what works for you, what you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Personality is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So,
and baggage. Yeah. I mean, if there's historically hurt and wounds that has happened in your marriage, or even from relationships that you've had outside, I mean, before, not outside your marriage, but relationships that you've had before you were married, that maybe you were, you know, some trust issues. And so you may have father issues. I mean, there's just so many complexities mm-hmm. to this, that the number one thing is to drive the conversation and create what you feel comfortable with your husband.
Yes. About. And to honor your spouse. You may not think, you might think, oh, that's kind of silly. Like, it's not a big deal. But if your spouse thinks it's a big deal, then we go with that, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a conversation.
It is. And I think you hit on something really good about the intimacy piece, because I think that's the distinguisher for us, at least, is that if there is an emotional intimacy that is outside of the work conversation, that's a red flag for me.
Yeah.
If there is something that I would share with somebody but wouldn't share it if my husband was present, that's a red flag. I think that within the workplace, I think of a number of friends that I have within the workplace, and all of our friendship is revolved around that. And if that were taken, if we would move on from that, it probably would not continue.
Right.
Because that emotional intimacy is not going to be there. I'm not going to share that with a really, that's a guard that I have. I'm not going to mm-hmm. share certain emotional things that I'm going through with another man, particularly if I'm not even sharing it with my husband.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we talk about this as opposite sex, but this can also be an issue with same sex relationships. And, you know, it's not unheard of that someone is doing something inappropriate with someone of the same sex, but also just in our friendships, if we're more sharing more emotional connection or intimacy with a friend versus our spouse, I think that's a red flag, and we want to look at that. And you know, I've even known people who their husbands were kind of pushing back a little bit on their friendship with someone else, that they felt like they were giving their time and energy toward that rather than to their marriage. And so there's just so many mm-hmm. components and complexities to this. And at the main point, Amy, I know we're both saying, is we just want to be wise in it. And so I'd love to talk for you, just have a question for you about friendship. So we're talking about friendship and we're talking about co-working with men, but would you say you have friendships with men?
I don't, it all depends on how you define that friendship.
Okay. Define it then.
Yeah. I don't even know. I was listening back to Jen and JT's conversation, and I was picking up some of the things that they said as they defined it. Mutual mm-hmm. respect, mm-hmm. wanting to encourage and just view them as a sister or a brother in Christ. There's so many different purposes in the relationships that we have. And we even see that played out in the life of Christ with when Jesus was walking this earth. He had his multitudes, then he had, you know, the group, the following, and then he had his disciples. And with the disciples, he had even a smaller group. And so I just think that we have to be aware of what is our purpose in this relationship. What is our purpose in this relationship? And I would define a friendship with a man at my workplace as one that really centers around work.
Mm-hmm.
he's not going to be one that I would define even back in grade school that we would share BFF, you know, heart necklaces with each other. If you remember those. And so, you know, I think that friendship is so different in different scenarios. I think that there's different levels of friendship based on the intimacy that you have. I have girlfriends that are not ones that I will share intimately with, but man, I'll go and have dinner with them or raise our kids together. And so there's just different levels of that. But for the relationships that I have with men, it really, I ask about their families. I ask about their work and what they're doing. But the link that I have with them is through work or through church or through serving together at Oklahoma Baptist University.
Right. That's what how I would
what about
say
you? How would you?
Yeah,
say?
Friendship with men, it's linked through something else. It's either my husband, he's close friends with that person, and so we spend a lot of time with them through my husband, or it's linked professionally. So my literary agent is a man. I communicate with him, but it's always about work. Mm-hmm. And so would I say he's my friend? No, not necessarily. I think we use that term so loosely. Do we have a good, respectful relationship? Yes. Do I call him when something goes wrong? No. You know, yeah. I mean, only if it's professional. And so maybe we just use that term so loosely. And I think JT and Jen use it, like you said, they have this link of their love for theology and their love for the church and what they want to see happen in the church globally. That's the honor and the respect, and probably a lot of their conversation is about that. So I don't know, but it sounds like they do also hang out socially, but as couples.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I would say if it would be going out to dinner with the four of us if I have a friendship with a guy at work. But I do think that that is a word that I get tripped up on.
Yeah, me too. And we need a new word for that.
We do. What is that? We need to come
an honorship or a respect. I don't know. Honor and respect is what comes to mind. It's just there's a congeniality. Is that the word? Congeniality between us. There's a warmth, and we're on the same team and we support one another, but we're not talking about certain things.
Right. And I think the contrast to that would be the contrast to what a friend looks like in a work or ministry setting would be someone who you don't have many conversations with, who you feel uncomfortable. You feel like they're feeling uncomfortable around you, that they won't, they kind of feel sheepish, that they don't get to know you on a, you know, personal surface level. And I've had that happen too.
Yeah, me too.
Because of my gender and being different than theirs. And so I think that it is just a massive ball of conversation.
I know.
It requires more than one conversation. So I'm so glad we're following back up. But it was a continuing conversation to have.
Yeah.
When you said about the text messaging and things, and that's something that my husband and I had to talk about is that I text some of my coworkers without having his spouse or my spouse present. And he does the same thing. I mean, he's the dean mm-hmm. of students. And so he's dealing with a lot of student behavior and things and issues that happen on campus. And so his, one of his directors is a woman, and I don't want to be a part of any of that. And so there's just this understanding that, and trust that's there, mm-hmm. but it's not something that wasn't initially talked about mm-hmm. and addressed as we move forward with this.
Yeah. Well, and I want to clarify, I don't, those kinds of things, he doesn't include me. You know, if there's like a church issue, but he also tries to take it to email, which is a more professional way of communicating. Or, you know, if it's there's a Slack is very helpful because it is a more of a professional platform. And so I'm not saying it's all cut and dried. I'm saying more of the like friendship people, you know, he's not going to text one of my friends without including me, that kind of thing. So
yeah, that's interesting because I was just talking to one of my girlfriends and when we lived in South Carolina, we had some really a great group of couple friends that we had traveled together. And, you know, one of them is our dentist and one of them was our pediatrician and one of them was a real estate agent. And so since moving here, there's been multiple times in which he's had to call my girlfriend as a physical therapist and ask about a back issue or about a real estate thing. Or I've had to call and ask our pediatrician about an issue with one of the kids. And so I just think that it all depends on the context,
yes,
of what it is and of how that feels. So there's just really no set equation for how
That's
it
right.
should look. And I think that it just needs to be customized based on what you're comfortable with. And as long as you're healthy, that's the other piece to this.
Yes.
Am I healthy? Is my husband healthy? Is this other person healthy? I mean, healthiness is huge. And some of you ministry wives who are listening, you may be healthy, but your husband's not. And you're having to work through this kind of offset. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
Yeah. Let's talk about that because okay. I do want to address the whole spiritual maturity. Like if you're spiritually mature, you should be able to do this. If you're spiritually immature, then, you know, if you can't do it, then you're spiritually immature. And like I said at the beginning, I do think part of spiritual maturity is discernment. And so what would you say, Amy, to a woman who's listening who is concerned about her husband's health and the way he might be interacting with someone in his life that she just is like, there's some yellow flags going up. So what would you tell her to do?
Well, that's a great question. I think that I would first of all say lay it out before the Lord. I would say pour it out before him, be able to get words to what you're feeling, what you're picking up on, and what you're saying. And the best way that I can do that is just through journaling. And so I do that first and just ask him for insight and help. I would have a conversation with my husband about it. And I've learned through 25 years of marriage that it's best to enter in conversations like this saying, listen, I'm not saying that you're doing this, but these are just some things that I'm feeling and I would love to talk with you about it, kind of diffusing the I'm coming at you situation, but saying there's some things that I would love to talk to you about that may or may not be happening, but these are some things that I'm picking up, and have that conversation. Now, the part that gets my heart so much is when that husband isn't able to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably next step would go Christian counseling, going to somebody who has the professional training to work through relational issues and that is objective and that loves the Lord and his word and marriage. Mm-hmm. And so it would be to go see a Christian counselor so that you could kind of unpack this and kind of begin to plot a way through it. That's kind of off the top of my head what I have. What would you say?
I would say similar things of just being really spending time with the Lord and knowing specifically what it is that is concerning you. Because I think sometimes in these situations, and I have been in this situation before where I've been like, I'm feeling some things about somebody and, but needing to really discern is this more of a me issue? Mm-hmm. Is this something going on with me? Or is this genuinely something I need to bring to my husband? I do think in general, if we have concerns, we should bring it to our husband, but we need to be very clear about what it is that mm-hmm. we're concerned about and what we're requesting. Is there an adjustment that needs to be made that would make you feel more comfortable? And if he is willing to have that conversation, great, which I, you know, hopefully he will be.
I love what you said. Is it a me question?
Yeah.
That's really good. Is this something that is centered from an unhealthy place of me, of jealousy, mm-hmm. of fear of abandonment, of holding my husband as too much as my identity? So I think that that is a really good thing to ask. Is this a me thing?
Yeah. But and then if he doesn't listen, I do think it just asking, could we maybe have an objective person who can help us kind of know, is it a me thing or is it a you thing or is it an us thing? Or is it this person, you know, that we need to be have some pretty firm boundaries with? Because those people do exist in ministry. And that, and so I don't want to live in fear and I don't want to encourage fear, but I just want us to be wise. And my husband and I have, it's a lot of times you learn these things through experience, and that experience can be painful. And that's been the case for us. But it's helped us to kind of go back and say, okay, we want to make sure we're on the same page, honoring one another, but also honoring the people around us and not making them feel like, oh, there's someone to be scared of or that.
And that's an intangible thing. I mean, when in situations that I've been in certain environments, I have felt that weird kind of tensiony, but I have also felt it when it's not even there at all, and the elevation and the appreciation and the respect that comes in the way that God is gifted me and what I can bring to the table in a conversation with a group of coworkers. I have felt both of them.
Me too.
You have?
Oh yeah. Like speaking and going around traveling, the environments that you enter into, you never really know what kind of response you're going to get, because a lot of ministry type things are predominantly men, unless it's a women's event. Mm-hmm. But so you never quite know how you're going to be received. And sometimes I have felt very uncomfortable because I can tell that they feel uncomfortable. But like you said, then I also felt the opposite. And it was more of a, oh, I see, like, you're my sister. I'm glad you're here, and I support and respect what you're doing. And there's not this personal relationship, but it's a sense of value and encouragement.
Yeah, that's really good. It's a sister and brother, and I keep coming back to that word instead of friend, because it might encapsulate more of
what we're going for here.
What we're going for here. And JT and Jen said that. They mm-hmm. kept saying brothers and sisters, and that's what the title of it is, isn't it? Of the podcast, Brothers and Sisters.
I think it was Men and Women. Ministry,
Men and Women. But they kept saying that theme over and over. And so the thing that you just brought up and what I've mentioned too is the context of which we enter. And it's so interesting to me when we engage in conversations like this, in which we want it to be a certain way, we can either bowl our way through places in which it's not, or respect what the context is there and just operate graciously within it.
Yeah. And I think, just as I'm trying to think, how do we wrap this up? I think it's hard to wrap it up because we've kind of gone all over the place, because we have to. This is a complex thing. It's based on personality, context, but all of us are seeking to be wise and to honor the Lord and honor one another in it. And so I hope that as you're listening, listener, that you're like, okay, maybe there's a few things that we said that kind of stick out to you that you can take and just talk to your husband about it. Talk to your ministry wife's friends about it. How do they do this? I don't want anything to be prescriptive, but I just want us to consider, what does it mean for me to be wise? No matter what context I walk in, I'm going to be holy and I'm going to honor people. Yes. So,
because really, we can only control ourselves.
That's exactly. Exactly.
And we can, and if we try to control other people, we're going to be forever disappointed. And really, it's just a partnership and a coming alongside with the Lord and saying, use me how you want to use me in whatever context it is. And may I exemplify the gifts that you have given me in the ways best to glorify you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being willing to enter into this conversation, Amy. Hopefully it'll lead to more.
I hope so.
I mean, I think this is just an ongoing conversation that we need to be having. So thank you for giving your perspective and joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much, Christine. I enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.
Hi, my name is Catherine Renfro, and I serve as the National Director of Women's Evangelism at the North American Mission Board. Studies show that women make up 50 to 60% of any given church. Imagine the impact if women are mobilized to live on mission in the places where they live, work, and play for the sake of God's kingdom. For free resources to equip women to live out the gospel, check out the Women's Evangelism Hub at namevangelism.com/women.